The setting for our story tonight is Bethlehem. You and I live in a small town. In the year 2000, Kelly and I got to travel to Bethlehem with a group of our friends. And we got to see the place where they think that Jesus was born. There's a church built over it today. The town of Bethlehem is little. It's on kind of a hill, and all around this city are sloping sides that lead down into valleys all around it, where you can imagine shepherds laying out in their fields at night, watching over their flocks. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 2 that Mary and Joseph went from Nazareth to Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, in Galilee to Judea and to Bethlehem, the town of David, because they belonged to the house and line of David. And so Bethlehem was David's city, his town. And the Bible tells us that the Messiah was to come from the line of David. And so God had this happen where the governor called a census. And it just so happened because you had to go from your hometown to be counted from your original place. God assembled everyone that was from the line of David back to Bethlehem. It was as if Berkeley Springs had a giant family reunion. I mean, everybody is almost related to everybody anyway. But imagine if all their kin came in for a week or two and filled the place. And Bethlehem, which was small, was stretched. And everybody, because when you have family and they come visiting, they don't usually stay at the hotel. Where do they stay? With you. We have no idea how long the census took, but you can pretty much guarantee that if the government's running something, exactly. Which means that everybody was cramped, everybody was living in other people's homes, everybody was stuffed, packed in, as many people as they could have in relatives' homes for, honestly, Lord knows how long. The city was bursting at the seams. It was like a month-long apple butter. God help us all. It's in that setting where all this crazy stuff is happening that Mary and Joseph slip in largely unnoticed. Even as we sit here at 7:30 on Christmas Eve, there is somebody in the maternity ward at one of the local hospitals, isn't there? Someone tonight will probably have a baby. Do you know anybody that was born on Christmas? I know one person. You do? Along the way in life, you oftentimes will meet somebody who's born on Christmas. It's not unusual. Babies are born every day of the year. That's not a surprise, is it? So it was not a shocking event that a pregnant woman came into a city that was packed to the gills and on that particular night had a baby. That in and of itself was not shocking news. And because everybody was roughing it, they were fortunate that they had any place at all. So they had shelter. They were away from the elements. And in the middle of all this, God was up to his biggest plan in Scripture. And as if to remind everyone what he had done to get to this place, he gathered everyone from the line of David because he said the Messiah was going to be from the line of David, as if to say, look around you all, These are the kind of people that I had to bring together to make this happen. And some of them weren't nice people. Jesus may not have come from a line that was full of the best. But in the middle of this, the angels came and they made this pronouncement. And I want to focus on this pronouncement tonight because for some reason this year it really struck me. Because as I'm thinking about Bethlehem, as I'm thinking about families being crammed into homes, sleeping on floors, eating food that they're having to eat because they're not cooking it, their relatives are cooking it, all this stuff. How many of you can imagine that on Christmas Eve, the night Jesus was ready to be born, somebody was in a bad mood? Is there a very good chance that someone was in a bad mood on Christmas Eve in Bethlehem? Somebody had some problems going on. Somebody had some things happening in their lives. Somebody was not happy because the person next to him snored the night before. I mean, the stuff of life. And it's into that the angels make this proclamation. And the angel says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for who? All people." As a matter of fact, there's a new version of the NIV that just came out in 2011. And the new version of the NIV says, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." And I thought to myself, have you ever been in a really bad mood and then suddenly you were joyful? I don't usually have a switch like that. Usually it takes me a little while to back myself out of a bad mood. Can anybody relate to that? It isn't just like all of a sudden, "Oh, look, I'm happy." Every once in a while, I'll say to my kids, "Sorry, grumpy daddy's here. Maybe you need to chase him away." The message of the angels was, "I bring you good news," depending upon the translation, "that will be a great joy," or "that will cause a great joy for all people," for everyone in this cramped town tonight. Who's had a bad day, who's had a bad year, who's had a bad life, who's been wrestling with all kinds of stuff. "I bring you good news of a great joy that is for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." I love this because in this particular moment, his name isn't introduced. It's his title, so that we're very clear who this is. He's not just any other baby. He is Christ the Lord. "And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes or strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Now, being wrapped in strips of cloth was not a surprising deal back then. They would bundle babies. When we went to China, we literally were taught a lesson on bundling babies. Because the people in China were very particular about how they wanted to see your baby. As a matter of fact, after we got out of the hotel and began to wander during the rest of the week. Now remember, we're in Asia. It was warm when we went. And we put our kids in shorts. And we would have Chinese people come up to us on the sidewalk and put their hands on our kids' legs and say, "Are they warm enough? Warm? Warm?" Because they were so used to bundling their babies to keep them warm. And so it was not unusual. You've probably seen it in a hospital where they wrap a baby up and they can't move. They are like a brand new mummy. And they're warm and they feel like they're in the womb again, which makes them feel comfortable. And what was unusual was not the bundling. What was unusual was the location. "You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." In other words, God had planned this out all along. that this would be the case. There are times when we think that God has not given us His best because we're not in five-star circumstances. Hello. If life isn't the Marriott, it's not God's plan. They weren't staying at the Marriott. They were staying in a cave or a stable. And it was perfectly in God's plan. Think about that for just a second. If you had to plan for the birth of your child and where you'd put them, would you plan for that? I mean, today, most babies are born in very sterile places where things are safe and cared for and everybody's looked after and all this is this. And Mary and Joseph were in a completely unsanitary place. Can you get worse than having a bed next to the horse? They took the horse's food and they put straw in it over top of the manger where the animals fed from, and they laid the baby inside of it. And God looked down and He said, "That's my boy." And I could have had it differently. But I want to tell the world something. What you think of as the best has nothing to do with the best. Staying in a Marriott or a five-star resort, or there are apparently more than five stars that you can be at. Staying in that does not make life happy. You can stay a lifetime in all the five-star motels you want to and still be radically unhappy. God says, giving you my best is actually giving you something that brings you joy. It doesn't mean that that's without pain or hurt or suffering. But living in the center of God's will brings joy. And so the angel announced, "I bring you good news of a great joy for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this is how you'll know. I put my son in a manger because I wanted you to know that it was more about my son than the manger." And we get so lost in the trappings of everything around us instead of what life is really about so often. I brought my phone up with me this evening because last night I received a text that I wanted to read to you verbatim. Ally McConaughey texted me last night. She said to me, she asked me, she said, "Sorry," this was at like 10:30 last night. She said, "Sorry to be so late, was wondering how to get someone on the prayer list." And I texted her back who she could call in the morning. And she said, "Okay, I will do that. But will you also, I will also ask you to say a prayer this evening if you would. Our friend, Jim and Stacy's six-year-old, we've been praying for at church for a while. They got word that he's receiving a donor heart. 6 months old. They are beginning the surgery between 1 and 3 a.m. last night. So prayers are needed." And then she said, "Also for the family who lost their own child, for this to happen." took that message to my wife and I read it to her. And I said, we need to stop and to pray. She started to cry. And this was our conversation. Can you imagine having a baby that needed a heart transplant? How do you pray that God will give your child a heart, knowing that it means that someone else will lose their child in the process? How do you do that? I said, I don't know. And then I thought to myself, how amazing is it that at Christmas, God said, my children need a new heart. And so, I will offer my son's heart so that they might receive what they need for life. There was some tragedy that led to the loss of a child's life in the past day or two that allowed this little baby to have a new heart. But at Christmas, it was no tragedy. It was a gift. And God the Father said, well, this is how John put it, for God so loved the people of this world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Is it any wonder that in Revelation the scripture says about Jesus that he walks up in that famous picture of Jesus standing at the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open, I will come in and be with them and they will be with me. You see, the story of Christmas is about a dad who cared as much about his children on this earth as he did the son on the throne next to him in heaven. And the prophet said to us in the Old Testament that though we may have a heart of stone, he will transform it again into a heart of flesh. And you and I can become hardened in this world. Hardened to truth, hardened to love, hardened to the things of God with cynicism and doubt and disbelief. But the message of Christmas is this: God sent his son to die for us that he might offer his own heart in exchange for ours, because ours was dying and diseased and was pulling us toward the grave. And so the scripture says, for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning and its shame, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. I thought to myself today as I was going to the grocery store getting soda. My kids wanted root beer on Christmas Eve. How could I deny them? There was not a lick of root beer in our house. It was a near tragedy. I went and bought 3 cases, like boxes of root beer, lest we run out. And as I'm walking across the parking lot, headed in to Food Lion to get root beer, I thought to myself, what wouldn't I do for my kids? Powerful question. And then I thought to myself, what didn't God do for us laying aside his own child first? I don't know if I was faced with a choice of offering up my children for someone else's children, if I can make that choice. I pray I never have to. But God the Father did. If you ever wonder again if God loves you, you have to go back to this story. It is utterly amazing that he would do this for us. Let's pray. God, we are so grateful for your love for us. Jesus offers to us that he can be our Savior and our Lord, forgiving us our sins, offering us eternal life and a connection with God if we simply invite him into our hearts. That we can exchange a heart that is not pure, that is diseased and dead, for a heart that is alive and spiritually awaken to you. It was a gift that cost you so much, yet you willingly gave it, Father. So we celebrate you tonight for all that you are and for your tremendous love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.